This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Tanofanava, kia ora and hello. Welcome to Between Two Worlds with Teisa here on 102 People's Radio, Te Reo Rerangi o ngā tangata o Manawatu. I'm your host, Teisa. Together we explore life, grief, healing, faith, culture, spirituality and hope. Talo whanawa, kia ora, and hello. You are joining Teisa from Between Two Worlds here at MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, Te Reo Rerangi o ngā tangata o Manawatu. We are here today, and as promised, I said I would bring you a person in live. So I have got someone here special. We've been waiting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick off the show with a bit of introduction. Phil, or Philip Echuali, is a hospitality professional, local community figure who has served at a few different venues. We have operations manager at the Dingby Hotel, so you might have seen Phil there, and at Jack's Workshop in Fairs Road. Now, along from that, we know that after that, Phil took a bit of a break, and that was to care for his mama. And then we know there's been a bit of change after that. So what I'm going to do is, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Phil. Phil is the other half of Michelle and Phil from Manawatu Craft and Food Fair. So what I'm going to do first is just introduce Phil. Phil, if you can share a little bit about yourself. I know you are one of seven, but if you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are and where you are and how you got here today.
Good morning, Teisa, and thank you for this opportunity to come on your show. I'm born and bred here in Palmerston North, so along with my siblings, we were all brought up here. We're a Samoan background. Our parents were Samoan. I've attended school here in Palmerston North for all my schooling, and then I moved into working. So I've had a variety of jobs, originally working as a lab tech manager for Sanitarium Health Food, and then I decided to get out of that and went into the courier business. And from there, it's just gone into mainly dealing with people, hospitality, that sort of thing. So I've worked in hospitality for many years, managing pubs, etc. here in the Manawatu, and then eventually we bought our own. And then, like Teisa said, I took a bit of time off to look after Mum until she sadly passed away, at which point Michelle told me I should go and get a job. So that's how I ended up with Manawatu Craft and Food Fair. We looked around for a business, again, similar to the hospitality industry, interacting with people, getting out there in the community, etc. And we found Manawatu Craft and Food Fair. Brought that, and we haven't looked back from then. So I'm a father. I'm a grandfather of two. Well, actually about six from the ones that just claim me as their grandfather, but that's the way it is. And they keep me busy as well, my grandkids. They're my life and soul. And my children, well, they're all grown up, obviously, and had their children. So now they take backseat to my grandchildren, which at times annoys them.
And we always go through that. Phil, share a bit. We know that the balance of life and balance of work or business and our dreams, how's that play? Because you come from, similar to me, a very staunch Christian, staunch Pacific Island family. How does that play out for you? Because growing up, it would have been different for a lot of folks. So how's that been for you to go from that strong, this is what you've got to do, this is how you've got to live your life? And I think as Pacific Islanders, we have our families have this thing of, this is how our life is going to go for you. So how's that been for you growing up in that island family and then trying to navigate the life of businesses or your dreams, which is what you've been doing?
So initially when I was younger, et cetera, it is, as you say, we're pulled by cultural ideology and also the way our parents bring us up and strong in the church, religion, that sort of thing. And so that's what you know. Mm. And that's what you're brought up with. And those are the guidelines that are set for your life in the early stages of your life. Nothing wrong with it. You know, it's worked for a lot of other people. It's what we know, and it's part of our culture is the respect for our elders. And that guides us. But I think it set a good foundation for me and for my brothers and sisters. But then as you go older and you take your life choices, get married, children, etc. And for me it was a combination. A, I got sick of working for people. And B, I found working for people didn't give me the lifestyle choices as my children came along, because you got to go to work 9 to 5. When your children have sports or have something at school, you can't just take off and learn. That's reality. So as I learnt and branched out from working for someone and then looked at my own businesses, et cetera, and that, I think Mum and Dad over time understood that was my goals. And also they understood I was good at it because I was involved in people, in man management, in hospitality. And that's the basis my parents brought me up with. Yeah. You know what it's like. Yeah. People come to your home, you look after them, you feed them. That's a simple concept for the hospitality industry.
What are some of the challenges that you found with that balance of culture and you and your business? Did you find...
I didn't really find difficult challenges that stopped me or prevented me or slowed me down. I like to think I had a very strong work ethic from my parents. And so whatever you set your hand to and go and do, you try your best and you try it until it's finished and you achieve your outcome, your long-term goal. To be honest, one of the only challenges, if you like, that I noticed – a lot of people in the business world, in the industry, and I had examples of this when I brought my pub, they talk to you over the phone, and then when you go meet face-to-face, because of my last name, etc., you know, obviously they equated it with Samoan, but when I met face-to-face, they were a little bit shocked. because, you know. But that was the upbringing my parents gave me to make sure – even though we were Samoan, that I could speak English properly, that I understood English properly, that I, you know, knew the culture and the custom of where we were living. And that stands me in stead now, you know. Yeah.
And it is hard because there aren't a lot, well, here in Palmerston North, there weren't a lot of business owners, Pacific Island business owners, but they are there now, but a lot of, they're not out in the open, like... For someone of Pacific Island to go and head up something like the Manawatū Craft and Food Fair, that's a big thing. That's a really big step because I think we have this vision that, you know, people that own and have that type of business at that magnitude, they're the people in the corporate world or they're the people in the coats and suits, you know, to see someone come up and do that is really inspiring. And I saw that when I first heard that the Manawatū Craft and Food Fair had changed hands. But what was even more interesting was who had bought it. So for that, going from, you know, you've gone into from hospitality in the bars and the pubs to now dealing with predominantly individual stallholders, how was that different for you?
You're dealing with a lot different personalities and probably a wider range of people. People involved in crafts, so I found when I initially took over, you've got your more advanced, mature age people doing it, but you've got The young ones doing it as well. So it's a wider mix of range of ages that you've got to deal with, and along with that comes all the different personality types and that. But that's one of the things I enjoy about it. It's still the basis of hospitality. Mm. Whereas with pubs, you're dealing with intoxicated people, you know.
Yep.
Here we're dealing with quite a wide range of people and interesting people. That's the thing I like about it. They've all got different stories that come from different walks of life.
Yeah. And so with the Manawatu Craft and Food Fair, it started off by Fiona McKay of Daisy Design Story. So I understood she started it up initially to give a platform for creative craft people. And then you changed hands and took that over in 2025?
Yes, yeah.
Yep. And I can see that you have retained that authenticity of the stall holders that are selling work that they have created. It's not purchased off a shelf somewhere and then put on the table. Can you share a little bit more about that, please?
Fiona started it 9 years ago now, and initially it was at the library, and it was on a much smaller scale. It was a gathering of people, craft people, like you said, who had craft products, etc., that they were developing, and it was just a common interest, I suppose, that they had. And then just over the years, it grew and grew to where it is today. When we purchased it from Fiona, the concept was still the same. The methodology was still the same. The basis of it, which was provide a marketplace, provide a forum for common-minded people to get together, A, and B, display and show their craft. We're very lucky here in the Manawatu, being Palmerston and the outlying regions, we have some very skilled craft people in this area.
Yeah. So you've got the basics of the fair is it's held indoors. It's held at the Barber Hall and Bell Hall. So that's two combining halls, not just one. It typically has 85 to 86 store sites,
yeah,
plus your outside food trucks.
Yes.
And I like the fact, which is really cool, is that the entry is completely free.
That's how it was initially set up by Fiona years ago. And so we've just maintained the process that she had in place, which was working. Let it be free, let people come in from the community. It's really a community event. And so it's a chance for all the different crafters around the Manawatu to get together and display their products, but it's also a chance for the community to come in and see what's available, see who's making what in their local neighbourhood, if you like.
So give us a few ideas of some of the stall holders and what sort of products they have available.
Well, 86 stalls, we've got a heap of different products, yeah, etc. But it's your normal crafts that we've got available, home baking, baby clothing and accessories. We've got a few people doing wood art and wall art, but different stages of it. One guy gets beech wood off the beach and turns it into beautiful fruit bowls, etc., that sort of thing, whereas another guy creates art from Comic-Con and from, you know, that sort of thing. We've got, for this one, I've got a belly dance manufacturer coming. She creates and does clothing for belly dancing and alters it and that sort of thing. We've got macrame, got a lot of, quite a few custom jewellers. And they all create and make their jewellery different ways. Like one does recycling. Oh. One goes and looks for whatever normal people would have in their home, bits of wire, that sort of thing, and creates great jewellery out of it. We've got Phoenix Creations. He does printable plaster figurines and that. Yeah. And he's finding it's not just for the kids who like to come and do it. He had a referral from one parent from the last fair who came and brought one for her child to paint, you know, school holidays coming up. And so he said, oh, we'll take this one for you. The lady messed him back and said it's the best time that her and her daughter had spent together painting these things. So it's not just about buying an item. It's about the other intrinsic value of it that you have. We got the normal knitting, crochet, sewing, those sort of things. And we've got several crafters who bake from home. And that's a danger for me because I have to quality test all of them on the day. But they make beautiful muffins, brownies, all that sort of thing. And it's all locally made. It's all made at home.
And I think right now, especially here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, you know, the employment is really at a high, and it's an employer's market. So I guess, you know, there's so many folk out there that are very skilled, you know, whether that's baking, whether that's knitting or craft, such as the wood and that. So I guess if you're good at a passion and passionate about something, why wouldn't you turn that into, you know, a way to help bring some money in, you know? And the fact that, you know, when you see what they do, and I have seen some of the amazing work in Phoenix. I think I have some hands that I bought from him. I think, you know, we go out into the shops, and nothing against the stores and the big plazas and that. And, you know, Palmerston North doesn't really have a big, huge Westfield plaza. Mm. So these days I think people want to look at something that's handmade.
Yeah.
You know, when you're giving a gift, you give a gift of something that's personal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not 10 of the same thing on the shelf in the local store. You're buying something specifically for that person. So being able to get along to the craft and food fair allows you to go and find a gift that is meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really good. The other thing I want to cover is it is called the Manawatū Fair and Craft, Craft and Fair, Food Fair. Where are we looking at from stallholders? Are they mainly Palmerston North? Are they Fielding? What range are we looking at for stallholders that are coming in?
The rule is that they're from the Manawatū region, so that covers down, we take them from Whanganui, take them from Fielding, Bulls, Stanson, obviously, those sort of areas, Foxton and Shannon. So it's all around this region here. And then I've had the odd one that I brought in from Levin, for example, because of the type of product that they make and they create and the craft that they do. It fits what we're trying to do here. And it's also something a little bit different. So it enables us to give variety to the community. So, mainly from this area here.
And there's something special about the fair is you actually have a raffle. So you have a stallholder's raffle so you hold the fair 4 times a year?
Yes. Yep.
And that is how do you want to share? So the next one is coming up in 4 weeks, and then you have another 2-day one in November. But every fair, you select a local organisation in the Manawatū where the proceeds of that raffle go to this local Manawatū organisation. Can you share a little bit about that?
So when it was initially set up and when we brought the Manawatū Craft and Food Fair, it always had one stall set aside for community groups, organisations, sports groups, that sort of, that wanted to do fundraising for their group. And it was a way of the business giving back to the community. So we've just maintained that and kept that. So we have groups approaching us. I've probably got 27, 30 emails from different community groups who have asked, and they're aware of what we do. They're aware of the business, for example, but they're aware that we also have a stall set aside. So the stall is just inside Barber Hall doors, the main entrance, so you can't miss them as you're coming in. And we're blessed that the way that the prizes are set up, all the stallholders contribute to it. So they've all donated an item of what they craft, what they make. So it's a little bit more personal that way. We're not just going out and getting stuff and chucking it in a bin, going, oh, yep. Well, here's your prize. Yep. It's actually something from the craft fair. We run two draws. It's $2 tickets. And as you come in, you can buy tickets from whoever the group is at the time. But also the other good thing, it's an opportunity for the different groups to promote what they're doing and what they stand for, etc. For example, we had the Cancer Society for our last one. We've had the Alzheimer's Society. We've had different groups like that. We've had young girls that were selected to represent New Zealand overseas at dance competitions and that. So you can come and buy the ticket, but you can also talk to them and get a bit of background about what their group does and what they're associated with.
That's really great, because a lot of youth now who are trying to get overseas and represent not only their own school or their club, but they're also representing New Zealand, Aotearoa New Zealand out there. So being able to get some help from there, you know, there's not a lot of, other than I think Sports Manawatū, there's not a lot of places where some of these youth can go and get funding to or help to get them overseas and participate. And so this month, which is in 4 weeks, I think your next upcoming event is Saturday the 29th of August, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that this month's chosen group will be the Hukawhitu Scout Group?
Yeah, they approached us several months ago, even before our one in May, and asked and explained what they're doing. So They're a large scout group, around 60-odd, and covering the ages from 5 through to 14-year-olds. And they provide all sorts of community services for the kids and for, you know, training them up and giving them experience and leadership and making different crafts, that sort of thing. But what they're specifically doing this time is every 3 years there's a large jamboree somewhere in the world. So they're trying to raise funds to help 12 of the scouts and 6 of the volunteers get to this jamboree, representing their group but also representing Manawatū, where they come from. And so this is a way that we could help them out for their fundraising.
So when you look at it, when you look at what you guys do at the Manawatū Craft and Food Fair, it's a collective of community folk across the Manawatū, showcasing their art, their skill, their crafts, their passion and their, I guess, their dreams for some of them. And at the same time, you're giving back, you're providing that for communities, local community here in the Manawatū, but you're also giving back to the community when they are able to come in and do fundraising for a specific reason. So, you know, I have, when I first arrived here in Aotearoa some years ago, would often see the little sign on the fence lines around, you know, around the Barber Hall and that, you know, and it's 4 times a year that you host the fair. Are there any other fairs aside from this? Like, does the Manawatū Craft and Food Fair have any other areas that they will be at? You know, can we see you or some of the stallholders in other areas within the Manawatū or outside of the Manawatū?
Yes, we have an associate fair that we do in October. It's more a neighbourly one, and so it's in the Kelvin Grove area. We use the Kelvin Grove Community Centre for it. It's because it's around Halloween, it's our spectacular night market. and so it's an avenue for us, again, to allow crafters, etc., to gather together. It's on a smaller scale, with the hall being smaller, but it's more about the community. So that Kelvin Grove community will drop probably 1,500 to 2,000 flyers leading into the event.
Wow.
And we've been very well supported too. They come in, and they come all dressed up. The kids come, you know, they enjoy. And that's what it's about for us. And we do that one. We're in talks at the moment actually with another market owner here in the Manawatū to try and create another one over around Highbury and another one over around Westbrook and that area.
Oh, wow. well.
It's all about just giving back to the community. Yep. You know, you can't just take all the time, especially when they've supported you. And plus, it's something we enjoy, the logistics of setting up a community, of creating something for the kids, for the families.
And I think also, especially with that, with Spooktacular, it's a safe environment, because we know that over the years, you know, it used to be great. It is something that's new, more new here in Aotearoa, is this going house to house doing the trick-or-treating. It allows you to now only come, you've provided the families and their children a safe environment for them to come and be part of Halloween celebrations without having the worry of my children are out there, what sort of houses are they going to, who's giving them what sort of lollies and what have you. But it's a safe environment where the whole family can come and enjoy.
Yeah. I don't know if my granddaughter would agree with it being a safe environment. So last the fair we did last year, I dressed up fully in a skeleton's costume with a hood and everything. Yeah. As well. When I came out and my granddaughter saw me for the first time, she just screamed at me. She wouldn't come near granddad at all. I ended up having to take my mask off and everything. Wow. So she grew up. So from her perspective, probably a safe environment, but yeah, absolutely true what you said. And because we have the food trucks there, I try and create a dining area outside as well, so the community can all come together, get a feed, sit down on the tables, et cetera, that we've got out, have a chat and that sort of thing, and then come through and have a look. We were also lucky that last year I had live music. So Next Wave Music, Amy and her crew, Mandy and them, who specialise in tutoring children, teenagers and that, and running a music program for them. I've been lucky enough to work with them over several, you know, over a couple of years, over several shows. So they bring in the kids to perform live and just give another aspect to the event.
Cool. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a song. We'll have a bit of a break and we will play Rise Up by Andra Day.
You're broken down and tired.
This is part one of the interview. Come back next week to catch the rest.
You've been listening to Between Two Worlds with Teisa here on Manawatū People's Radio, Te Reo Irirangi, o ngā tangata o Manawatū. If you enjoyed this show or found it helpful, why not recommend it to a friend? You can find past episodes at npr.nz/show/Between Two Worlds or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Teisa. Thank you for listening.